This is Nikki from How Novel, and welcome to Free Samples of Local Literature, where regional authors read selections of writings for you to preview. Today I'm going to read an excerpt from Hashtag Selfish Sunday, written by Arian Naomi Omid. Everything I loved gone. Cos, what have I done? One is weightless in the void. Safe. Protected. Keone opened her eyes to find herself in a midnight sky with sparkling stars that sung and hummed as they shimmered, yet she had this feeling of being submerged in warm liquid, like being in the womb. If this is death, she thought, then death was the best choice I have ever made. A fluttering, twinkling sound disrupted the thought as a white butterfly sporting one black spot on either upper wing flew up to her. "Do you remember how you got here?" the butterfly chimed energetically without words. "I asked to be here," Keone replied calmly. The butterfly danced around the girl's head in a manner that somehow suggested disapproval. "But do you remember what led you down this path of tragic substance abuse?" Keone felt as though she took the full force of a cell phone to her face again. "You butterflies don't F around, do you?" The butterfly let out a giggle that sounded like a faint tweakling of a wind chime. "There's no time to spare, child. Follow me." The butterfly flitted off into the blackness in a chaotic zigzag pattern, with Keone following close behind. They came to a horizontal oblong mirror, and the butterfly gestured for Keone to peer into it. She was 16, sitting in the back of her parents' car in the parking lot of the preschool they were cleaning that day. They made a respectable living doing Koss's work, because cleanliness is close to costliness. Normally, Keone helped to clean. Today, she was calling Baxter's mother. She had tried breaking it off with Baxter directly and couldn't, so Keone's mother had suggested telling Baxter's mother instead. It seemed like a safe bet, right? Yet Keone was greeted by sobs and disharmonious cry of, "You can't, you're in love, you'll work it out." Keone tried to reason with the woman at the other end. No, she wasn't in love, she didn't want to work it out anymore. "But you can't," the woman sobbed, "you're in love. You'll work it out, please. My son can't live his life without you." "Fine," Keone finally murmured. "We can try to work it out." She hung up the phone, defeated, dreading the beating to come, because Baxter would learn of this as soon as his mother got off the phone. "Forced you into your position on life. You wanted to take the reins and move along, but then this piece of work selfishly manipulated you into staying. And out of survival, with no hope and no way out, you turned to the pills and began engaging in desperate affairs. You didn't have a true addiction until this moment. When you weren't numbing your body with pills, you were numbing your mind with romantic encounters." The butterfly chimed before floating to another mirror. The mirror showed her house. Well, Trent's apartment, right now. Trent was home. Keone was foaming at the mouth and seizing while first responders were working on getting her secured and getting her out of there. The man who was hunched over her, holding her trembling body, waiting for it all to stop so they could cart her away, had the most comforting aura about him. He was tall with shaggy brown hair, and when he looked up at Trent to ask why this had happened, Keone noticed his sunny blue eyes and her heart skipped a beat. Rocky was her EMT. "In this timeline, this is the only way he knows you," the butterfly revealed. "The tragic beauty whom they got to too late." Keone looked at Rocky's long form and watched longingly as he tenderly took care of the ODing girl. Suddenly, she was overwhelmed with the weight of what she'd done. She had got angry at life and rage quit the game. She had taken one wrong turn and immediately threw everything that could have been in the garbage, the ultimate act of selfishness. Tears began to spill down her face as she murmured, "Oh no, what have I done? Koss, what have I done?" If she hadn't taken the pills, there had still been a chance they would meet, create a new timeline together, find their happy ending. Because he was here, standing in front of her, diligently hoping to save her life. And deep down inside, she knew that she wasn't coming back from this one. This was it. She had ended the game. Her life was in this liquid space now. "I love you, Rocky," Keone cried from the void. Of course he couldn't hear her. He was in another dimension, focused on the task at hand. The butterfly let out another magical little giggle before uttering the words, "One more thing, and then we'll go."
Free Samples of Local Literature is produced by Nikki Pontier-Carrolls and KVMF LP Butte. If you enjoyed this free sample, you can find the entire book at How Novel Books and Art.